All right, welcome back, everybody.
Hey, welcome. What's up?
Welcome back to Is It Crazy or Is It God with yours truly, James.
Yep.
And you know Faith. Here. We're here, guys. We're bringing it to you once again.
Yep.
We're doing this every week, so thank you for your support. And thank you for reading along. I know you guys, I just know it in my heart that you guys are reading along with us and that we're not, you're not leaving us out here to determine or interpret all of this on our own. You know, I'll start out with that because, you know, one of the things that we'll do after we'll read is we'll like look up certain verses and find some context, you know, in our sources. So like I'll Google stuff, I'll look on Bible Gateway. We have a Bible dictionary.
Yeah.
We'll look in the context of our, mm-hmm. of our Bibles, like our study Bibles. They'll have like margins and stuff, like and just in different study Bibles. And we also like to look at certain sources for like video. Mm-hmm. So like the Grace Digital Network and the Bible Project. Right. So we'll like to look at these recaps so that we know, like, we read it, we understand it. But sometimes you just feel crazy. Like, did I really get it?
Yeah.
So, but one of the things that I've noticed, though, is like, as we read, I could easily misinterpret something.
Yeah.
So it's important, I feel, for people to read for themselves because mm-hmm. my understanding of something might not be accurate. So we want to bring you the best information, but we are also, mm-hmm. you know, not experts. So, so you should read along for yourself and hopefully join in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just wanted to say that. I don't know where that came from, but there it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's also good to get a, you know, to look up the definitions to get an understanding of it. Because, mm-hmm. guys, this is when the earth began, and it's a lot of things that are the same, but some things that are different.
Yeah.
Like, we're not, for instance, like the tabernacle, right? We're not going to be slaying goats and oxen.
Right.
And, you know, so that's just an example. So, you know, be, you know, read it and take the truth out. And because the stuff that's in there, the stuff that's in the Bible is still going on today.
Mm-hmm.
So, but these laws are very ancient and they're still applicable to today.
Absolutely. So much so. Mm-hmm. So much so, in fact, I feel like
some of our stuff is embedded.
It's even more raw in the Bible.
Yeah.
And then you kind of do some comparisons. You just can't help but to do comparisons when you read. But as I do comparisons, it's like, you know, you come up with these sort of like metaphors or like mm-hmm. just ways that things are related to today's society and relationships and things that you have witnessed in or have taken part in. And it's so interesting because the way that it's written, it's even more raw and more like simplified, right? And now it's more of a like, wow, that's like the same thing that's happening now, only on a larger scale or in like a you know, magnified scale. So anyway, how was your week, honey?
Oh man, my week was my week was good. It's always good, right? Always good that God woke me up. I learned some things this week that I need to work on with myself. And some things that I've got to give myself some grace. I woke up early a couple more times. But now I really want to focus on, once again, I'm going to probably say this to the end of time, but working on being obedient, right, to the Lord and, you know, having some grace and always having gratitude. So that's what I'm really trying to focus. And I'm trying to get my morning and night routine. So next week, I'm going to really like go hard and just, the saying is be bad at it first, but I'm going to make sure that I do it because it encompasses everything that, you know, I want to do. And get a couple more Bible study days in there. So that's what I want to focus on next week. And this week is, I just went on a tangent. So this week
that's is, good.
This week is, you know, just learn some things. Like, that's what we all should do, right? We should all be learning. And found some things out about myself, good and bad. Mm-hmm. I will not tell you guys. Maybe one day. One day. But one day you hear my testimony. So that's how kind of my week went. Trying to get a little bit more uncomfortable and knowing there is no balance.
Let me ask you something. You said be bad at it first.
Yeah.
That was the saying, be bad at it first.
Yeah.
Can you
expound on that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So anytime that you start something new, whether it's riding a bike, playing basketball, playing football, driving, starting a podcast, right, reading the Bible, in order for you to start something, right, and for you to get good at it, you're not going to know what you're doing at first. So you're going to struggle, and that's being bad at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you have to keep doing it to get better. For instance, I was a terrible driver when I was younger.
I guess I kind of was too.
Going so fast and then pressing hard.
Oh on my gosh. Sorry, Mom.
You know? Yeah.
Nah, I got it. Yeah, used to do that too.
I used to do that. You know, being riding a bike or roller skating and, you know, all those things. Now I'm a really good driver because I've been doing it for a while. So that's anything you do, guys. Like, if you want to play basketball, I was bad at it first. And then I got good. I'm not really good, but, you know, I'm from PG County.
You're pretty good. So, you're pretty good. I've seen you play.
PG County.
Pretty good.
You know, shout out. So, but, I mean, a lot of people basketball are good in PG County. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go with this.
You know, it's a fact. So, but that's how it is, right? You're bad at something, but if you keep doing it over and over again, and just not doing it intently,
Doing it with intention. Right.
Yeah, and then you'll be good at it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean, be bad at it first.
Okay. So. And I knew what you meant, but I wanted to hear you say it.
Yeah.
That driving thing. That's why I said, I'm sorry, Mom, because I was driving her car, and she used to tell me all the time. That's where I get the careful thing from. So she used to tell me all the time, like, you need to be careful when you're driving because my brake pads keep wearing down. She had to get her brakes fixed like a couple times. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it's not me. You know what I'm saying? And then I don't know if it was her in the car with me one time or what, but something let me know that, like, oh, I have to start putting on the brake way before it's time to stop. Right. I was like, I am careful. Like, that's the thing. When people, she used to be like, used to be needing to be careful. And I'll be like, I am. I am always careful. Right. I am careful. But it's like, you have no context of what careful is when you're not careful. You just, you know, slamming stuff around. Mm-hmm. So, but something taught me later, like, oh, that's what she means by be careful. Like, start to slow down before you stop instead of like, oh, time to stop. Skirt! So that's why, sorry, Mother, that's why you used to have to get your brakes repaired that often, because I wasn't being careful as I told you I was. But it wasn't a lie. I thought I was doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So, yeah, that's what I mean. How was your week?
Yes, how was my week? My week this week was, you know, not gonna lie, I'm blessed. I'm so super blessed. We're blessed. Mm-hmm. But this was a rough week for me.
Mm-hmm.
Some might call it, it wasn't a struggle bus week, mm-hmm. but just like I had like it took its toll on me, like mentally. Okay. And I guess sort of like emotionally. And I didn't have any like meltdowns or whatever, but I'm able to kind of see the, what do you want to say? I'm kind of able to see better like the triggering of, or the warning signs of like burnout or something like that. Right. So I started to see that earlier this week, and I, instead of like getting all the way to the bottom, which I normally just spend my time and energy, like it's never going to run out, and then it runs out and then I have no more. And then I'm frustrated and I'm irritated and I'm upset. But I saw it happen, and I was like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I know what's happening here. Right. And I was like, I'm going to just be intentional about taking a rest. Right. So like, I think it was after work on Wednesday. Like I worked, Wednesday was so busy for some reason. Like everybody had a thing that they needed, or four things that they needed. But after work, like I worked a full work day. And then after work, maybe like 6 o'clock, I just couldn't think. I was just like, and normally I'm like, okay, gotta do this. Now I'm off of work. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I gotta do this. But that day I was like, I'm close to E and I need to really regroup. And not even in a way where I was like, you know, distraught or whatever. I just noticed that like I was empty. I was like, what's the word? It's like,
that would be empty.
I just noticed that my tank was real near E, and I was just like needing something to like recharge me, as opposed to just being sad or being melancholy. Right. I feel like maybe I was a little melancholy, but I noticed the signs, and I was like, I'm not going to let myself get down there. I'm going to do something to like re-energize myself. And so I did, and I'll talk more about that later, but, yeah, so that was so that part was a little challenging, I might say, but then after that it got better, and I prayed about it and it got better, and then, you know, I mean, I can't say it got worse, because I trust God to handle everything that, you know. Here's the thing, I'm not trusting God to do what I think should happen when I think it should happen. I just trust that whatever God's got planned is going to happen anyway, and I might as well be a part of that, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever he has, whether it hurts or whether it's uncomfortable, like, let me just be as close to that as I can.
Yeah.
And that's probably the best place to be, right?
That's probably, I think, I'm pretty sure that's what obedience to God is.
Well, I'm trying. I'm not saying that I'm 100% out of the park with this thing, but I'm just noticing.
I feel like there's uncomfortability and there's pain involved.
Yeah,
and I don't mean like,
for sure.
Like some people think it's like when they say pain first, some people automatically think it's physical. And it could be mental.
Yeah.
Like emotional. Getting emotional, like getting over something, unlearning certain habits is painful.
Oh my gosh. An apology can be painful. An
apology, yeah.
Like making an apology to somebody, even though you don't want to, or doing something in like in step with what God has expressed as his laws.
Yeah.
Right? Because I had a couple of situations. Well, I had at least one situation recently where I wanted to tell somebody about themselves, like, let me just tell you about yourself, right? But instead of leading with that, I only just tried to improve the situation or communicate, you know, what I felt needed to be communicated, not to drag anybody down or say, like, here's what you did wrong, but more so like, okay, here's what I observed. Or in one instance, it's not even like, here's what I observed. It's just like, here's the information that's available to us. Let's move forward. Here's a way, right? Like trying to provide a solution type of thing, right? Instead of like trying to tell somebody, well, you know, let me tell you about yourself. Like, that's not my place. Like, and anybody could do that to me too. So it's just kind of like, there's no place for that in those particular situations. But, you know, like I said, that I only brought that up to say it's not easy trying to be obedient, and I certainly am not 100% obedient, for sure. But I'm recognizing the signs of, like, okay, this is challenging, but you're doing the right thing, so just try to do that as much as you can, type of thing. So, but yeah, it wasn't even like a hard week, but I just noticed that, like, mentally and emotionally, I had some challenges that I, you know, that I'm overcoming. So yeah. So all in all, it was a good week. But I'm so glad I'm so glad we talk about that, because could have considered it to be a hard week before I just had to tell you about it.
Yeah.
But like in reality, when I look back on it, it was a good growth week.
Yeah.
Like I could measure it, but I could see where I'm better now than I was on Monday.
Yeah.
So that's good. I'm glad about that. Thank you for asking.
Me too, man. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about, you know. It's about obedience and growth. And once again, in order to grow, you have to change your input, which changes your output. But growth is uncomfortable. Because it requires you, right? Mm-hmm. Especially what we're doing requires you to be obedient to the Lord, and that's gonna be a little painful, because it's just hard to learn some of the ways that society has taught us.
Yeah,
you know, that's all.
I'll say, it's not even mysterious. It's just like, you want to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And God wants you to do what he said to do.
Yeah.
And it's just a simple choice, right? It's just like, I'd rather do this, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Or I don't want to see this about myself. Sometimes it's that. It's like, I don't really want to change.
Yeah.
I would rather just be comfortable
the
way that I am. But it's like, that's not what I told you, Faith. And here's the requirement, especially if you have big goals and dreams.
Oh, man.
It's like, okay, you really need to...
The breakdown is real.
Shape that up. Okay? And so... It's like it's not like a time game or whatever, but it's like the quicker you just follow the steps, you know, the better off you'll be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it takes much repetition, and, you know, it's hard. Listen, it's not easy. So, and I'm not any expert, but I just, you know, and I can tell already that it's going to get harder from here.
Yeah, it's going to get harder. And it's so funny that it's not the...
Oh my gosh.
When people say like the work, right? It's hard work. The hard work is not the late nights, right? It's I gotta do three jobs. The hard work is working on yourself.
Yes.
It's not watching TV.
Oh my gosh.
It's reading. It's listening to a podcast. It's it's reading the Bible in the morning. It's waking up.
Yeah, I would say
instead of ice cream, it's a smoothie or a granola bar. It's those are the things.
Or nothing.
Or nothing. Or water. Those are the things of, you know, the hard work.
Those
so
are
you
the,
guys
the
are
things
witnessing
champions,
it.
Right?
Yeah, live.
That's so funny. Let me touch on that real quick. We haven't even started. Well, this is us starting.
It is.
But it's so interesting that you said that, because we talked about this a while back about the things that people say are hard, right? And and not to discount it, because they are. But like when people say marriage is hard work, when people say parenting is hard work, when people say entrepreneurship is hard work, when people say, you know, things like that are hard work, I think a lot of the work, of course, is showing up and doing stuff, but a lot of the work is work, like you said, working on yourself. It's making changes to yourself, right? Because those relationships and those sort of like accomplishments that you want to reach towards, the growth is over there, and it requires you to kind of like grow through that to become, you know, better on the other side. So the real work is to be, you know, the example for your kid. The real work mm-hmm. is to be patient with your kid. The real work is to be patient in a marriage and to listen and to mm-hmm. not react and to, you know, implement yep. different things. The real work in entrepreneurship is to put in the time. Yeah. It's to, you know, do it when you're tired, right? Like, yeah. so it's really kind of like you working on yourself. Yeah. That's what makes it harder. Yeah. Or that's what makes it hard. But I mean, again, I'm no expert. But okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's get into this.
There we go.
So all this right. week we read, mm-hmm. we started here, right? Deuteronomy yep. 5 mm-hmm. through 16. Mm-hmm. Really? I think we read through... Did we read through 19? Mm-mm. Okay, we read 5 through 16. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I thought we read...
No, not yet.
Yeah, you're right. Why? We stopped at 17.
Yeah, yeah,
okay, alright, I see. Probably because I recapped.
Yeah.
But I didn't even listen to that. I just thought, I don't know why, probably because I was mixing it up with the last thing, the last chapter we read.
All right.
But so, yeah, we read Deuteronomy 5 through Deuteronomy 16.
Yep.
And, man, it's like, it's getting, it's not even like it's getting better, like it's a soap opera or something like that, but it kind of is like a soap opera, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff that happens in here, this wow. could be a soap opera. It's like, you know, the cliffhanger, the drama, the, you know, the dis, you know, I don't know.
It's a lot of stuff that goes on.
The discord or the,
It'll be like one chapter, you'll be like,
wow. Yeah.
And it'll be like, all right.
Oh, this happened? Like, is that what it said? Like, it says something in here about people were sacrificing in the other land that they were going to. People were sacricificing their own sons and daughters. Like, like they would sacrifice animals.
Yeah.
I was like, what in the world is going on here? But it's in the Bible, man.
Yeah.
Can't make this stuff up.
And I wouldn't be surprised if people are still doing that. Anyway.
Oh.
It's neither here nor there.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's okay.
I don't put anything past
people. Listen. Okay, we're not.
Anyway, all right, so, yep.
I mean, it's in the Bible. It's not like we're, that's off limits. We can't talk about that. Yeah. They said it in the Bible, so it's happening.
In the Bible. Okay. Deuteronomy 5 to 7, God's words to Israel continued.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just telling them, basically, be careful of what your forefathers have done, because they... You know, it breaks down the Ten Commandments again and what happened. It's like a recap, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here's the Ten Commandments. Now, remember when, you know, Moses is saying, remember with the Ten Commandments, guys, I was up here getting the Ten Commandments, spending time with God, and you guys are worshiping a golden bull.
That's not funny, but
you just gotta just come down and you're just wild. What is going on?
What is going on?
And it's the first time that the first Ten Commandments broke, and then he had to go back up for another 40 days, and he got the Ten Commandments, and then he's just telling. So they're at the Promised Land,
right?
So he's telling the people, let's talk about the journey of how we got here, and don't make the same mistakes as your forefathers did, because, right, your forefathers aren't here.
Yeah, they got stuck in the wilderness and died in the wilderness.
So, yeah.
So, here's what you don't want to do.
Yes.
Right? That's basically what Moses is telling them. Yeah. Like, remember I said this, remember what happened.
Yeah.
And also, I want to point this out. I feel like he was recapping, well, because we know that Moses is not going into the Promised Land with them because he hit the rock. And also, he's recapping. I appreciate a recap for myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to speak for myself. You know, some people hate redundancy. Some people are like, I already heard that, or you already said that, or whatever. It's just like, listen, especially if it's the truth, like, I can hear it as many times as I need to so that I can remember it. We don't remember all this stuff. Like, we're, you know, we're human, so we're just going to go along with our day and present ourselves with a new exciting thing, or a new exciting thing is going to be presented to us. So I appreciate the recap because it kind of solidified to me that, like, oh yeah, that did happen. And I did understand that when I read it, the way that he's explaining it here. So, okay, I am retaining this. So,
yeah. Okay. So here's a question. God was being very stern and almost redundant. Why? Basically just said it, the repetition part.
Well, you go ahead and answer first, because I think I have a different answer.
Okay. When it saying redundant, I'm really picking back and off of you. I think this is a reminder, because I don't want to say this. I'm going to speak for myself of why I need stuff spoken to me when I need to hear stuff over and over again. Because I don't get it the first time. And when I get it the fifth time, it's something different that I get out of it. And I understand it more.
Yeah.
So, everybody, redundant and repetition, this thing is to say that repetition, you just said it, repetition is key. Anything you do, your favorite movie you've seen 100 times, and you'll watch it and be like, oh, dang, is that really what that means? You've seen it 100 times, yeah. What do you mean? Right? Or a book you've read 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. Or, we listen to this Joe Dispenza in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
You get something different. And we've been doing this 17 times. Maybe you've listened to it 20.
I mean, I listen to it every time I go to work. So that's like once a week, maybe for the last 6 months or so.
Right.
But,
and I think I've been doing it. Has it been 6 months we've both been listening to it?
Perhaps.
So that's probably 17, I don't know, 20 times.
Yeah.
And we listen. It's only 7 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
See, I know.
But every single time we listen to it, we're like, I got something different out of it. It's only a 7-minute video, but it's just like, this time, this hit me differently.
Yes.
Right.
So God knows, in order to reach us, it has to be spoken again and again and again and again and again. Because if not, you'll forget.
Yeah.
So that's what I think it means. And he has to be stern because... don't touch the stove while it's hot. You have to understand that it has to be some consequences involved or you'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying people were dying on the spot. This is what God is, man. God is I am, right? He doesn't play around. He doesn't have time for games. Well, he does.
Yeah, because time doesn't exist to him.
Time doesn't exist
to him. We're the ones who are so quick in a hurry.
Yeah. Time doesn't exist to him. So, that's God. So he has to be stern. Or we get left to our own devices and worship golden calves.
Mm.
Yeah, what's your answer? That was long, though.
No, that's perfect. God was being very stern and almost redundant. Why? Because humans are stupid.
I wanted to say that, but
that's what I'm going to say, because we're stupid. I'm not saying we're incapable of learning. I'm not saying that we're just not that smart when it comes to following God's laws and obeying him, right? We just want to do what we want to do. And I almost think it's kind of coming off like a warning, but so in the way that it's like a recap, okay, here's what comes to me. This journey that they've been on in the wilderness for 40 years, I just was watching something that said that the journey from Horeb to Kadesh, I can't remember exactly where they went to where they went, but it should have been an 11-day journey.
Yeah.
11 days. Mm-hmm. And they were in the wilderness for 40 years.
People died.
These are the people. So as Moses is talking to these people, these had to be the kids of the people who died in the wilderness, right? Because some of them were told, you're going to die in the wilderness. You're not even going to get to the promised land.
Yeah.
But your offspring will get to the promised land, right? So
I think God told them.
So the idea is that maybe they saw it and they witnessed it, but they weren't necessarily like keen on what was actually happening. They just kind of saw it happen. Sometimes I do that. I think back to like when my mom was my age and like how much more mature she was than me, right? Like, I can't even think of it. Like, you know, if you think back to, I started doing this when I was 30. I would think back, like, what was my mom must have been doing when she was 30, right? And then again at 35, I'm like, what was my mom doing at 35? And I remember there's this picture of our whole family. And I was 5, and I was in the picture. If any of my family members are watching this, you remember that we all took this picture, and all the kids, like, took a picture by themselves. Anyway, we're not talking about family. Sorry, sidebar. But I was like, my mom was 35 in that picture. And I was thinking back to like, wow, she was so responsible with two children and, you know, going to work every day and all this. And I mean, you know, it's just interesting. But these people in the wilderness that died were the parents of the people who Moses is now speaking to before they go into the promised land. So I think it's a combination of the fact that he knows that he's not going with them. So this might be the last time they hear it this way. Yeah. Right, coming from him, like, look, I led you guys here, and here's what I witnessed. Maybe they didn't really get it because they were growing up the whole time, or maybe they didn't really understand what they were doing. Like, right, so like, you've been complaining this whole time, right? Can you imagine that? You take somebody somewhere in your car, and then you get them there, and then you're like, you turn around, like, look, I brought you here, you complain about everything, and maybe they just didn't even realize they were doing that, right? So that's one reason. And the other reason is, I think they just, it's preparing them for something. Like, for some reason, I feel like they're being warned or something. Now, we haven't read past 16, but I feel like just the recap, it seems so stern because it's almost like a warning, right? Like, we've seen warnings from our parents. You see warnings, and warnings don't come off like all nice and kind sometimes. No. It's like, now look. You know what I'm saying? Now look, I'm giving you another chance here. Pay attention. And I feel like that's what it is.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
So okay,
all right,
that's my answer. I went all the way off talking about family pictures. So, I gotta get it together, guys.
All right, Deuteronomy.
Yeah,
this is crazy, man. 8-10, God commands. The tablets recreated and repeated a golden calf story. So remember, so this is all a recap of what's going on. And it's a repetition because their fathers and mothers did all these things, so he has to remind them not to make the same mistakes. Like, you're here at the promised land.
Yeah.
If you make these same mistakes, you will be lost for 40 years. You won't get there. I mean, look, you're gonna just be honest. You're not gonna get there. So I have to tell you why your parents aren't here and why you didn't grow up in the promised land. Because of what they did.
Right.
I have to tell you
11 this. Days.
You know? I have
that
to.
That blew my mind.
You know? So, like, it's something that he said in Deuteronomy 9 that I wanted to go over. I highlighted. And it's Deuteronomy number 9:4-5.
Okay.
It says, do not say in your heart after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you. It is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me into possess this land. Whereas it is because of the wickedness of the nations the Lord is driving them out before you.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going to possess their land. But because the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. And that he make a firm the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. it's not you guys.
Right.
It's Abraham,
Isaac,
and Jacob, who is Israel.
Israel, yeah.
And it's the 12 tribes or his sons. Remember Jacob and Laban and all right, guys. So, yeah, man, Rachel and Leah. So that to me is stood out because I was like, oh, man, like, don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
It's not your righteousness.
Yeah.
This was promised. And God is driving the wickedness out so you can get the land that he promised. Let's really be clear, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't think you're getting this because
you're so great.
You're so great. So, you know, that kind of stood out to me.
Yeah.
So here's the question. If a person destroyed a gift you made with the lack of gratitude, under what circumstances would you recreate it? It's a very interesting question.
That is an interesting question. I'm trying to figure out what gift. Oh, I guess probably just the promised land. If a person destroyed a gift you made with a lack of gratitude, under what circumstances would you recreate it? Interesting. If they were a child.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the only thing that's popping into my mind right now. Somebody who wasn't aware of the value, right, that still needed it. Right? Because, like, you got to think, like, I mean, like, I'll do that, you know, for my cat, for Buttercup. Like, if she were to knock something over, like her bowl of water or something, right?
Yeah.
If she went over there and knocked her bowl of water over, I'd give her another bowl of water. Yeah, I'm not going to be happy with her, but you don't even know any better. So, you have to drink this water. Let me get you some more. And in the same way with the child. If you give your child food or something and they flip over the plate, or if you give your child, you know, medicine and they spill it, or, you know, whatever it is, that's the way that I would recreate it if they just didn't know any better. I mean, that could kind of go towards a lot of things, but yeah, that's the only way that I could think of.
I agree. Man, this is,
if a person destroyed a gift you made with a lack of gratitude,
if you destroy a car,
under what circumstances would you recreate it? Somebody
give you another car? Yeah.
Under what circumstances? I just thought of another one.
Circumstances? Just. Oh, man, I'm trying to see. Time. Time.
Yeah.
Because you could be, with time comes gratitude. Sometimes, not all time.
Yeah, I mean, but
some people don't like, they'll just, because I've, listen, when I say cars, guys, I have been blessed and I have destroyed cars and love you, Mom. But I'm not going to tell that story. But I've been gracious, but I've destroyed a car, got another car, destroyed that one, and God's like, wait, you need to chill for a second. And in time, I became grateful, and I got another car.
That
is real. That happens. That happens. So that's an example. That happens in you know, my life. So that's an example of what God did to me. And I would have to repay it, you know? So what's your other one? Because the kid example was, like, really good.
Yeah, I think my other one was... it was kind of based around, like, giving somebody another shot. Like, with the understanding that, you know, under conditions, basically.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I would do it if I wanted to just give them another chance. Like, look, you really messed up here. And I mean, but see, the thing that's tricky about the question is it says, with the lack of gratitude.
With the lack of gratitude.
Right? Somebody destroys something.
Yeah.
And like, they just don't, and they don't even care. I'll get another one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and so that's what makes it tricky. I don't really know. But yeah, I mean, or if the outcome that I was, you know, driving towards or trying to accomplish involved them, you know, as well, right? So, like, we got to do this. Like, you know, like a class project.
Yeah.
Right? We've all worked on a class project with somebody or something, even if it might be a work thing or a church thing.
And nobody
or,
shows up.
And somebody's, you know, somebody's not doing their part. Mm-hmm. Right? And perhaps you made things very easy for them and they still messed it up.
Yeah.
Right? But your ultimate goal is to get a good grade or to turn in a successful mm-hmm. project. Your ultimate goal is, it should be a common goal, but perhaps it's not as important to others. But the idea is that, okay, well, I gave you this gift, you know, of my time and effort, and I've set it all up for you. You had one job, right? Yep. Could be something like that. And they just didn't care. Mm. But in order for you to get what you're seeking, mm-hmm. you have to play nice and sort of, like, make it happen again. Or you know what I mean? So, like, I definitely have been given grace in that way in a number of circumstances. And you know, maybe even for that reason, that would be another reason because I was forgiven. So I've had a lack of gratitude before and I've said, well, I don't even care. Mm-hmm. But seeing myself or seeing just a person in need of some help or some love, some grace, right? That could be another reason why you would do it, because it's not about you.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, well, you know what? You don't get it right now, but you know, even if you never do, I'm going to give you this okay. grace right now because I've received grace. That's probably even a better answer.
Yeah. That is a good answer.
You're welcome. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
That was a good question.
That was a good question. And I mean to think about it from all different sides. And sometimes I'll be trying to think to myself, where did this question come from? Is it in the text?
Yeah.
Like, is it something that happened that I missed? But I get it there because I feel like God set up this promised land and then they kind of messed it up.
Yeah, they didn't.
Because I look, man, I made you this whole thing and you just didn't even want to do what I told you to do. Could have got there in 11 days if you would have just listened to me.
They complain over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, so I think that's what that's attached to, but I'm not really even sure about that. But okay, let's move along.
All right.
This is fun.
It is.
This is really fun, guys. I want you to know that. I just have to reiterate. Like, it's work. It is work. You have to read. You have to think. You have to go and look stuff up. But it's super essential because I say this now more often than I ever have. Like, really ever. I can't believe I went so long without having this information. Yeah. It is essential, right? Like, I see so much of what's happening with me, what's happening, like, in past situations, what's happening in the world around us. Yeah. I see so much of that in this, and I cannot believe that it took me so long to sit down and do this. And it's, I mean, yeah, it's a little bit difficult, and yes, it's it definitely opens you up to some self-discovery and some toe stepping on moments. They say that in church, like when a pastor step on your toes, whatever. It's like he's talking directly to you. Mm-hmm. But it's necessary, right? Like you just need this. So I'm really excited. And it's fun to read. It's fun to read and kind of see some of the similarities and be like, is that where it came from? The Bible? Yes. The Bible said that? That's mm-hmm. what's happening today. Like, So anyway, it's fun. I'm having a lot of fun with this. But go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Deuteronomy 11:13 is obey and love God. One place of worship. Mm-hmm. And idolatry warnings. Is that right?
Idolatry.
There mm-hmm. we go. So idolatry warnings. So, you know, obey and love God. Just be obedient.
Come on, James. That sounds so easy.
It's not easy. It's difficult. And I struggle.
Just be obedient. Nobody's ever said it like that before.
Every day, man. And I just try to keep praying and read the Bible. So, here's one out of 11 where this is pretty. Deuteronomy 11. 1 and 2. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules and commandments always. That's number one. And number two is, and consider today, since I'm not speaking to your children who have not known or seen it, consider the discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm. Mm-hmm. You know? And this is another thing that stood out, right? So if you read the Bible, it's not just about reading the Bible either. It is, but it's also what I'm learning that Faith just said is looking within yourself and applying it to your daily life. That's what I'm trying to do. It's like, oh, I'm complaining. It's like, okay, I don't want to complain because I don't want to be in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back to Egypt, right?
Right.
And I don't want to disobey God, right? I could be like Moses, but God forgives even though I complain every day. Mm-hmm. He still forgives and he still looks out for me. But so that's like that's what you just said. The difficult thing is like when you read it, and that's what being obedient is you gotta read the Bible and then apply it to your life.
Yeah.
Daily, and remember, like, okay, and just try to be more loving and more understanding and listen to his commandments and principles and statutes, and you know, pray and spend time with him. And if you do that, look, if you're obedient, spend time with him, right? This is what he's going to do, right? This is Deuteronomy 11:13. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and all your soul, he will give you rain. He will give you the rain for your land in the season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather your grain, your wine, and your oil. He will bless you.
Right. You won't have any worries.
You don't have to have any worries. But it's again, I'm be honest, man. This is the first time that I'm actually doing this, and took a long time, but it's worth it. And this is probably the best time in our lives to be reading it right now. For some reason, I'm just, you know. You should have,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, I can say that. I feel like I should have read it a long time ago. It's not like I was avoiding it, but yeah. I've read pieces of it. I've looked up verses. I've looked up context, like, especially going to church, and they'll go over a verse, and it's like, I'll go back and look at that. Mm-hmm. But reading it this way is much more, it makes more sense because you get to piece together the whole story and see what exactly is happening. Yep. So, and then whatever questions you have time to go and figure it out.
Yep.
So yeah, there's that.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. And okay. Oh, and he warns about, so these other nations, there are a lot of idols, a lot of idol worshiping, and he's learning, he's trying to tell them about that, about worshiping idols. And some may say an idol is not a golden calf, but could be something else, like an image or a status, you know. And then it breaks down the you know, a place to worship. So you gotta have a place to worship. So what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so the thing you just said about where they're going, the people there are worshiping false idols.
Yeah.
There's a couple things that came to mind, but the thing that really stuck out to me is one of the first questions we answered.
Yeah.
Why God's being so stern and perhaps redundant. Because, how could I forget this? Because where they're going, they're going to need to remember this stuff. Yeah. And I feel like when you go into a place, like, not to say nothing bad about like Vegas or LA or whatever, but I feel like it's a playing ground for all the kind of things that, you know, you could get into that aren't necessarily good for you, right? I mean, that's anywhere though, for real.
Yeah.
But it's like, when you think about, you know, what, Amsterdam? I don't know. There's a couple places in the world that people go to do things that they don't do where they're from. That's all. I'm not trying to say nothing bad about Amsterdam or about Vegas or about LA. But it seems like this place is already, they're already being forewarned that, like, I'm sending you here and you're going to need to have this information. So I was just thinking that probably is another reason for the answer to that question is, like, I almost forgot about that. They're over here worshiping false idols. And the idea that God is going to destroy the people there is because of their wickedness. You know what I mean? And because it was a promised, it's a promised land to them for their forefathers. But, that stuck out to me. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue.
All right. So, after Jesus sent, this is the question.
Okay.
After Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, people could worship God anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why was the one place of worship important back then?
You want me to go first or you want to
go first?
I think it was because there were other spirits involved. Like, okay, here's what. I didn't understand what false idols were or what gods they were talking about, but I vaguely remember in, like, history class us going over, like the Roman gods, like Zeus and, like, the god of whatever, the goddesses and the gods, whatever, right? And I'm not saying that those certain things don't exist, but they're not bigger than God, right? So people call people gods these days, right? Oh, he's the god of basketball, or he's the god of this, right? And it's just kind of like weird. So those gods were, you know, I don't know if they were real or not. Like, that's not my, you know, expertise. I'm not an expert. But there are certain things that I feel like exist.
Yeah.
Right? Like Satan exists.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But that doesn't mean that, you know, he's to be, obviously, to be worshipped. And so I think the reason that they had a specific place to worship God is because people who they were sent to destroy their people and their, like, sort of like lifestyle were using spaces to worship things that were not of God. So it's like, okay, this is almost like already tainted, right? Like, you've already run this in the ground. You've already conjured up a spirit of disobedience here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's already, it's dirty now. It's unclean. Like, you can only access it, and maybe God doesn't go into those spaces, right? At that point. Now, like you said, that with the Holy Spirit, you can be anywhere. But back in those times, perhaps, you know, once you conjure up, I'm just kind of, this is my answer. I don't know. I don't have anything to point to say that this is the right answer. But this is what my understanding and thinking is. I'm just explaining that. Is that maybe back in that day, after those sins had happened in those spaces, it just wasn't like God isn't gonna show up in those spaces because, ew. Just like he built the tabernacle, he told them exactly what to do to encounter him. Right? Very specifically, you know, to how to weave this stuff, how to set things up, where to burn the offerings, how to keep things clean, everything, right? Like, so many details. It's like they had to do all that just to encounter God, just to have a space. So I think he's not just going to come anywhere where these sinners are.
Yeah.
You know, that's my thinking.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
I don't think about it from that perspective.
What did you think about it?
I think simplicity. So just like with the tabernacle.
Mm.
So I think it's both, right? I think it's because they're worshiping gods, I need you to destroy those. But then I need one place, just like when everybody went with the tabernacle, that needs to be where everybody gathers. I need one place.
Yeah.
So, you know, simplify it. They grew up with the tabernacle, and it's simple. It's like, it's one place, guys. You know that here, because they have all the festivals that we're going to get into, and it's easier if it's all done in one place.
Yeah.
So that's not, I think, why it's probably such a deeper meaning, but that's what I think.
I mean, maybe it's not. That sounds really good. Sounds really accurate to me.
Worship here, you know, because you give everybody one spot, you know?
That makes sense. And just to your point, it's like, we always talk about this, but like going to the gym mm-hmm. is so valuable because you could work out at home, sure, but there's a million things you could be doing at home. So, but when you go to the gym, you came there to do something and you're not going to leave until it's done. Yeah. So it's kind of like even the act of getting dressed and going there is putting you in the mindset of like getting the thing done that you're going to do. So mm-hmm. maybe, you know, just to your point, like, yeah, like this is the place to worship.
Yeah.
So when you come here, release everything else. Yeah. So that's kind of like to your point. But yeah, that's a great answer.
Yeah, all right. Cha-ching. All right, guys.
I think.
All right. So now Deuteronomy 14 through 16. This is all right. This is interesting. It breaks down clean and unclean food, tithing.
Ah, yeah.
7-year debt cancellation.
Mm-hmm.
Freeing servants, firstborn animals, festival, and judges.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Clean and unclean food. Basically, it just breaks down what you can eat, what you can't eat. Like, you can eat...
You can eat the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roebuck, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. But you can't eat...
Pig?
An animal that has the divided hoof, split into two parts,
camel.
And that chews the cud.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you may eat that. My bad. You're not to eat the animals which chew the cud that do not have a divided hoof.
Yeah.
So I don't even understand that all the way, but like, here's some ones that are off limits. The camel, the hare, mm-hmm. the chaffin, I don't know what that is, the swine, mm-hmm. Because it does not chew the cud. It has a divided hoof, but it doesn't chew the cud.
Yeah.
Also, it gets into, like, you can't eat anything from the ocean that doesn't have, or from creatures of waters, is what it says.
Yep.
That doesn't have fins or scales. So you know, whatever doesn't have fins or scales, you can't eat. And then you can eat any clean bird, but here are the ones that you cannot eat. And it was interesting to me because... I wouldn't want to eat any of these birds that I'm about to mention. It never has crossed my mind like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Let's have some of this. Right? So here are the birds that are unclean that you can't eat.
Mm-hmm.
The eagle, the vulture, the black buzzard, the red kite, the falcon, the birds of prey of any variety, every raven, the ostrich, the owl. I've never thought to eat an owl.
Who thinks that?
I would just be, oh, man,
pass me some of the owls.
I don't know. Something about owls are all... I mean, something about owls are super zen to me.
Mysterious.
But then it's mysterious, but something about owls is very scary as well. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if... That's probably the one that could crush your skull with its...
Yes, and they'll attack
but
you.
Owls are... I wouldn't mess with an owl.
They'll attack you like
it's I would been not mess with an owl. Where, I certainly wouldn't eat it.
Where they're like, people like walk by and an owl will attack them because it's in their territory.
Mm. Also, I think they can turn their head all the way around and that creeps me out. Yeah. So I wouldn't mess with an owl.
Some people
anyway,
have owls as pets.
No, thank you.
I wouldn't do that.
So then like the pelican, I don't think I've ever thought to eat a pelican.
Nope.
Vulture, the cormorant, the stork. Something about that just seems wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we've grown up in Western culture, so I'm like, the stork brings the baby.
Yeah. No, but it doesn't.
I don't want to eat the stork. Makes babies. Oh, my gosh. The heron. Okay, so, sorry, go ahead.
No, for the heron, so I like got, like, I watch Bizarre Foods, right? So, I, like, if you know about heron, it's not like a bird. Like, it's kind of like... It looks a lot different than duck. It's like it looks like steak. Mm. And people eat it medium rare. And I was like, wow. So I know what, I've never had it. I just know what it looks like. They like hunted it and broke it down. I was like, it doesn't look like a chicken. Doesn't even look like a duck. It's like, it looks like a sirloin steak. And I was like, oh man. But that's just, you know.
I thought it was interesting that this was written in the Bible, and I never craved any of those things.
Nah.
Right? But I don't know if it's because people have just not eaten those things, and those things have never been prepared, or because it's just not something that should be craved. I don't know. But here's the other thing that they kept mentioning, is that you can't drink the blood.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why
someone
would want to drink an animal's blood.
Yeah.
But again, maybe these are the customs that I've grown up with, and so that means it seems foreign to me, and maybe in other cultures they do that and it's fine, or it's part of their, you know, rituals, whatever, but I just...
I'm seeing, like, blood, is it blood pudding, or...
I just don't want to drink no blood, and also, the reason you shouldn't drink blood is because it represents life.
Yeah.
Right? And that makes so much sense to me.
Once again, guys, we're not talking about medium rare steak.
Okay? Right.
It's not talking about... He's talking about...
Drinking. They said you're supposed to pour it out.
Like...
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Let's just keep it moving.
All right. Tithing. Tithing is just, you know, just give the Lord. The Lord doesn't ask for a lot, guys. Just give the Lord tithings. You know, just tells him, like, what to tithe. And here's something that we found it cool. Deuteronomy 14:26. It says, this is after you, like, give to the Lord, and you're living a righteous life and being obedient and loving God. This isn't just, I'm chilling, I get off of work. You know? We've all been there. I've done it massive times, right? But this is, we're talking about, it's in the Bible, and you're being obedient and loving the Lord. It says Deuteronomy 14:26. Yep, and spend money for whatever you desire, oxen, sheep, or wine, or strong drink, whatever your appetite craves. You should eat it there before the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. So after, you know, that's tithing. Like, enjoy yourselves, man. You know, like, you've been obedient, you love me, and then, you know, have some wine, you know.
Yeah, it says...
Eat good or strong drink. We're not talking about getting drunk. Talking about
fellowship,
enjoying it with God present, and enjoying it with your family and the people around you.
And strong drink could mean ginger beer.
Strong drink could mean ginger beer.
Because that's strong. Right? But yeah, it basically says in 25 and 26, like, you'll exchange your tithe for money and then take the money and go to the place of worship, which God chooses, and then spend it for anything your heart desires, as long as you're enjoying it with the Lord. So in some ways I thought that was interesting, because I was just like, oh, wow. Like, you know, we learned to give your tithes to the poor, give your tithes to the church, and you should do that. That was the first time I've ever realized that, like, oh, you know, it's an offering to the Lord, but you can enjoy it with him, type of thing. Yeah. So,
which is pretty cool.
Okay, so what do we have as a question here?
Yes.
Or are you still going over the thing?
Yeah, it talks about 7-year debt cancellation.
7-year debt cancellation. Mm-hmm. Can I talk to this? I'm sorry. Yeah, let me speak to this. That is a thing, like, when you're on your credit report, right? Like, I know that, like, things disappear or something like that, or things are made at a zero balance or something at 7 years. And for other things, it's longer. I know student loan debt never goes away. So I know that. But I was just like, wow, that's interesting, because I've read things that mention that on like your credit report, like after 7 years, it'll expire. Or if the records aren't dated back or something like that to 7 years, then it'll expire. And I'm like, wow, did they get that? Did FICO get that out of the Bible? I don't know. I don't really know. I mean, you know, what's funny is that the credit corporations aren't even that old. They're, like, younger than us. Like, I don't even think our parents, and certainly not our grandparents, like credit. Had the credit scores or anything like that, because it wasn't even around yet. But anyway. It's interesting. Oh gosh, but it's interesting that the 7-year debt cancellation is in there, because I was mm-hmm. like, oh wow, that's like today with you know, your credit score.
Yep.
And so anyway,
has like
freeing servants.
Which it basically says that after the seventh year, he's gone. Bye.
Peace. You can let your servant go if, you know, if they yes. were an indentured servant and they owed you something. And he can't go
empty-handed.
Yep, you got to give them something to go.
You got
to
give
them. Right? Like, you ready? Oh, you served me.
Deuteronomy 15:14. You shall furnish him liberty out your flock and out of your threshing floor and out of your wine press. As your Lord God bless you, you shall give it to him.
Mm.
And then it says, remember you were a slave to.
Yes. 15:15. Deuteronomy 15:15 says, and you shall remember and thoughtfully consider, and mine is the Amplified version.
Yeah.
You shall remember and thoughtfully consider that you were once a slave in the land of Egypt, yeah. and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I am commanding you these things today. Mm-hmm. So treat people as you would be treated yourself. Yeah. God has freed you from slavery, and so mm-hmm. you can't be keeping some slave for mm-hmm. for the rest of their life unless they want to be there. Right?
Yeah.
And then there's a special instruction for that. But I thought that was interesting, especially considering America's reckoning with the slavery that happened here on American soil, because a lot of those people were let free empty-handed. They were let, not even just empty-handed, okay? They, first of all, okay, we're not going to get into this, I got to say.
Because they, first of all,
they didn't even tell us, which was why Juneteenth.
Well, first, they even went and kidnapped.
And then we go into this whole, you know, slaughtering of black people and some and all of that. And Jim Crow leads to all this stuff. So anyway, the rules of the Bible were that when you release someone from slavery, which that wasn't even biblical, so let me not even get into that, because it's not like they were following any of the rules that God set forth. No. So anyway.
Because they went to another. Some could say they were people outside because they went to another land.
Mm. Okay, so
that's
anyway.
That's either here or there.
Neither here nor there, yeah. but both here and there. Yeah. Okay, so sorry, we got all that. Mm-hmm. But they were definitely let go empty-handed, so that's not cool. Anyway, moving right along, yep. what else is
but
there?
But it's talking about...
The firstborn animals.
So it was basically saying that you should just keep... So remember the covenant that God said that instead of the firstborn of your males, he wants the firstborn of your flock males. So it's just that you have to just dedicate it to God. That's it. You know, don't, you know, you can eat it, but it has to be for the Lord. And I guess he has to choose whether you, you know, give it as an offering.
Mm.
Right? So, I think that is just basically that you just dedicate the firstborn animal of your herd or flock to the Lord.
Mm.
That's basically what it breaks down to.
Yeah.
And then it says the festival of Judges talks about Passover, the Feast for Weeks, the Feast of Booths. These are just ways that they just had feast and the way that they worshiped and, you know, worshiped the Lord. This is how he wanted it done. So they had certain feasts and certain Passovers that they would do it. And it would last weeks, you know?
Yeah.
So.
It also says you shall not distort justice.
Yeah. Mm.
That was in Deuteronomy 16:19.
Yep.
16:18 says you shall appoint judges and officers in your cities, which the Lord your God is giving you according to your tribes. According to your tribes, meaning peers, right? I'm thinking. Yeah. And they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not distort justice. Mm. You shall not be partial, and you shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Mm. So,
why they say justice sure is blind?
I guess so. Okay, so anyway.
I don't know. That's
bribe blinds. Wow, that's an interesting
highlight
there. Yeah, okay.
Justice is blind, and then
you shall not set up a sacred pillar which the Lord your God hates.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are just some of the laws.
Yeah.
Which you shouldn't do.
And here is the question. These rules sound a bit strange, but how can you apply the principles to your life today?
You want to go with that one first, or you want me to start?
Yeah, tithing, I think. Mm-hmm. I know I could do a better at.
We can.
Bitch, being totally honest, you know, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Clean and unclean food, pretty good. I mean, I can definitely understand. And now, listen, in some cultures, you got to do what you got to do. But some of the animals on here are really the unclean animals. Like, who's gonna eat a vulture?
You know? Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I don't even think I eat any vultures. Anyway, I don't think so. I think vultures are like one of those things you just see and be like, I'm good.
Yeah, because you know, think about it. Who knows what they ate? They eat carcasses.
They're scavengers.
So I don't.
Right. Mean, the 7-year debt cancellation.
Yeah.
Yeah. They. You know. I think that does apply, right? Mm-hmm. The firstborn animals, the judges of what you just said, I think would definitely apply. But it says in my life, man, I mean, I don't, the judges won't really apply. The only thing I could think of is tithing. Mm-hmm. And I could do a lot better with that. And I'm working on it. But listen, guys, this is what this is about, right? It's about reading the Bible and then applying it to your life and realizing what you have to work on.
Yeah.
So, what about you?
Yeah, we could definitely be more consistent with that.
Yeah. But that's like,
and you know what's interesting about the same thing that sort of works in the way. Okay, I'll tell you this because I'm going to answer the question with this actually. Mm-hmm. In Deuteronomy 15:6, it talks about giving to the poor. When the Lord your God blesses you, he has promised you, then you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow, and you will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. If there's a poor man among you, one of your fellow Israelites in any of your cities of the land that God has given you, you shall not be heartless nor close-fisted with your poor brother, but you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend to him whatever he needs. And it's the way that you treat that person that God has treated you, right? God has been generous to you. So that kind of goes to your tithing thing. It's just like, if you're thinking that you're saving money, and I'm talking to myself, if you're thinking that you're saving money by being sparing, like, oh, okay, well, we got to do this and we got to do that, so this is all we have, right? Then you're kind of missing the point. We're missing the point, because it's like, no, God's going to bless you because you were obedient. Mm-hmm. And we already know this information. We just are not perfect people. So, but that's one thing for sure.
Yeah.
And then another thing about the festivals in the end, celebrating a feast to the Lord, and whatever they said here in this at the end of Deuteronomy 16, it was saying like, you know, you're to get together and feast and bless the Lord. And it reminded me of the holidays.
Yeah.
And sometimes the holidays can seem stressful because it's like, oh, we got to decorate and we got to give gifts and we got to do this and we got to do that. But it's really about spending that time with your family. And think about it, like, there's not really that much like work and stuff to do around that time. There's not really a lot that you should be really distracted by, especially because that's when we celebrate Christ, right? Yeah. So it's like, I need to be more intentional about celebrating God, even like at Easter or like at just any religious holiday. Also, with that said, there were two other things, actually. You said the thing about the animals. You said the thing about tithing. I was going to say that, too. Mm-hmm. There was one part in here. Oh, if a prophet arises amongst you and gives you a sign, don't serve and worship. Okay, so that's one thing that I'm still confused about, because I don't serve and worship, or no, I don't think I do serve or worship anything other than God, but I always am intrigued by like what that actually means. Like, is there something that I'm giving my attention to that God doesn't want me to give my attention to, like money or like the internet? I mean, it's not like I'd be on the internet crazy, like, you know, but like I do feel like I spend too much time sometimes like on my phone or working, and what are you doing that for? Are you working for money? Are you working for obligation? Are you working for the approval of others? Like, are you participating in idolatry by not spending that time with God? But I mean, I don't think I am. But okay, the other thing was this. Mm-hmm. I remember now. It was like the thing about the poor people, right? Like giving as if God gave, like God gave to you, and not being close-fisted. But then the whole thing about eating unleavened bread and having no leaven around you in your territory, I felt like that was some sort of sacrifice. Like, I'm not really sure. I think unleavened bread is like flat bread or like, you know, something like that. Yeah. But like just the idea that you are closely following this sort of diet because of your faith. Yeah. Right. And it brings to mind like fasting. And so I've done a couple fasts before, a couple times with religious intent, but a couple of times not. But whenever I am fasting, I pray. And I was looking at something earlier today where it was saying like the fact that Moses fasted and prayed, that made it more powerful. And so I'm thinking like, wow, you know, just going without food is just such an act of faith. And because we just, you know, crave food and we like the taste and we like the texture, and it's like a way that we celebrate. So like going without food for the intention, with the intention of obeying and worshiping God, that just seems so powerful to me that I'm just probably going to be looking into doing that sometimes. Those are the things that I would incorporate into my day and into my life, some of the rules. And then that's what it is.
All right, guys, time for some lovely shout-outs. I'm going to start off. I definitely going to shout out God is Dope. You got to send me another text, okay?
Listen. Got a God is Dope shirt in right now. I don't think I got this one from God is Dope, but they have shirts, like, you know, with the same sentiment or whatever.
They be killing me. But keep texting, though. I'm going to probably make a, we're gonna make a purchase soon. But that's, I'm going to give my shout out once again, you know, Mr. Meter Joe. Fourth quarter. Got some unicorn. But all right. So what?
Okay. What shout outs you got? I have some specific shout outs this week because I needed this and it was available to me. My specific shout outs have to do with, like I mentioned earlier, just me being in a weird place earlier this week and needing some encouragement. So these are a few people who are on my feed, right? That, one thing I went specifically in search of, but these other places are also, I'm going to mention those first. There's a lady named Cynthia C. Farmer, and you can go to CynthiaFarmer.com. I think it's her website, but she's on Instagram as the Warfare Coach. And she puts up these funny videos about, like, you know, like she'll do the trends or whatever, but she'll put in Bible verses, or she'll put in like instructions, like how you should be, you know, living. to honor God. And I really appreciate those because they're like fun and uplifting, but it's a real thing. Spiritual warfare is real. I feel like that's probably some of the reason why things are become, they're not becoming more difficult, but like certain things are so in our face, since we've been reading the Bible, I'm not going to lie. And I feel like it's because we're trying to be obedient and things, you know, Myron Golden, another shout out, which I didn't even mean to do, but yeah, he definitely deserves a shout out.
Yes.
Myron Golden is I want to call him a business coach, but he's so much more than that.
Yes.
He's a believer. He teaches principles. He teaches business principles, but from the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing. He's such an intelligent person. Mm-hmm. But I brought him up because he also was saying, like, when you go to improve yourself, or, and I'm paraphrasing here, but as soon as you go and desire of, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this happen for myself, expect some disruption. Expect that, you know, it's not going to be easy, that something's going to come along, mm-hmm. and it's going to be harder now, because now you want this thing, and now you're saying it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of what happens when you kind of seek a life after God,
yeah.
is that Satan comes for you. And so, okay, so anyway, one of my shout outs is Cynthia Farmer, the warfare coach. You can find her, the warfare coach, on Instagram. Also, I went specifically in search of this one video, which I've watched several times. And it's a YouTube video by Holly Furtick, First Lady Holly Furtick, wife of Pastor Stephen Furtick of the Elevation Church.
Yeah.
And they're all over social media. You won't find it challenging to find them. That's what I was trying to say. But she has this video called The Hope Cycle, where she's giving a sermon, and she has this whole graphic, like she does this thing where she talks mm-hmm. about the hope cycle. And I needed to see that video the other day, and I couldn't remember it verbatim, obviously. I've probably watched it like maybe 3 times.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm going to go and find this video because I remember feeling good when I watched it, what I previously watched it in. It gave me everything I needed and more. Yeah. I was like, yes, this is exactly what I needed. It was after I prayed that it came to me that, like, oh, go and look up that video, you know. And so I went and sought it out. It was exactly what I needed. And what came on after that? Something else that we didn't know we needed to see again.
Crucial.
So we watched this video a few times last summer. And it's Pastor Furtick.
Here at this place.
Not in our lives, for sure. But we were watching Pastor Stephen Furtick. I think we started watching him last year. I know we started watching him last year. I just can't remember when.
Was it 2020?
Maybe it was 2020.
It started, you know why I remember this? Because it was with a mustard seed, and it started when we were going to Virginia, listening to David Shins, because we go to travel for groceries. We traveled during COVID. It was good. But remember, I always attribute it to, I know it's 2022, but it had to be like,
it was definitely during COVID. And I had heard about him before COVID, because when we listened to Erica Campbell's show, Sir Griffington, as Erica lovingly calls him, Griff was mentioning that he was listening to Pastor Stephen Furtick, and I had never heard of him. That was the first time that I'd heard of him, and that I think I Googled him like that day. And I knew who he was, and maybe I had seen something, but we weren't heavy into watching him until we were in the house. Anyway, I only brought that up because there's this one video that came on after the Hope Cycle as a part of the feed that we've seen a few times, but we really, really needed to see it again together the other night, called Crushing.
Might watch it again.
Hello, it's so good. It's Stephen Furtick interviewing T.D. Jakes, and Bishop T.D. Jakes and Stephen Furtick have a personal relationship. So one of the things is that's wonderful to watch it for is because they are so funny. Yeah. And when they sit there and talk to each other, you kind of getting a glimpse into their like brotherhood or their, you know, it's like Bishop Jakes is his mentor or something.
Yeah.
And they're both so, you know, just funny, and they're both so magnetic and powerful in the way that they deliver their own messages. But to see them together is a blessing. It's entertaining. It's so informative, because Pastor Furtick really takes the student seat when he's interviewing Bishop Jakes. Yep. I've seen three of their interviews.
Yep.
And he really takes the student seat and he asks the best questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so good. So anyway, this particular one was called Crushing, and it's related to his book, which we bought his book to. Crushing, God turns pressure into power.
Yeah.
So you can find that on the official Stephen Furtick YouTube channel, mm-hmm. and you can find the Hope Cycle probably just by searching it on could just Google it, but you could definitely search it on YouTube. Say again?
Does she have a channel?
She definitely has, and I'll link all that below. Yes. I'll link these videos below if you're watching on YouTube, but you could Google it too. I mean, it's not that hard to find these people. They're out there doing the Lord's work. Yeah. And so that Crushing video, though, I would recommend that to anybody because, man, that thing is powerful. Yep. So those are my shout-outs. I'm sorry. Yeah. And, of course, I'll give the same shout-outs that he gave Mr. Meta Joe.
Yeah.
My wonderful sister has a wonderful channel mm-hmm. where, you know, she talks about life, events, mm-hmm. Different shows that she's reviewing. And she talks about Black businesses. Mm-hmm. It's like a fun place to be. Also, Fourth Quarter mm-hmm. is the best sports show ever. So I got to mention that. And those are my shout-outs. Oh! In ReTV, Relationship Television.
Yep, shout out
Relationship
to
Entertainment Television, I think.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't say that wrong. And they're going to be linked below, as always.
Yep.
And so go check them out. They got a bunch of stuff going on over there. Yep. Millionaire Man Cave. Lots of fun stuff.
Yep.
So those are my shout-outs.
All right, guys. So next week, we're going to read Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17-29.
All right, and it's getting fun, guys. If you haven't been reading so far, you should just jump in with us where we are so that you can be a part of the conversation, or you read it however you want to read it.
Yep.
But just make sure you read the Bible. We always say, don't take our word for it. Go to the source, read your Bible. Funny to me. Okay.
All right.
Much love and peace.
Peace.
Have a good day.